thank you for your diligence, for your faithfulness. This is a great house with so many great stories like Sandy's, I know, that could tip out. And today, I'm in the mode of staff training, okay? I was in leadership training yesterday morning. I was in church building mode last night. And in this moment, I'm in staff training mode. I love when I get to be with staff, okay? I have done pretty much every job that you probably represent in this room. I have been on the kids team, the youth team, the maintenance team, the hospitality team, the admin team, the worship team. Yes, I was. They entrusted a microphone to me, and eventually the teaching team. And so all of the areas where you work, I have probably been in that area. And if I've not been in it personally, I know someone that was in that area. So I get you. I understand you. I like to say when I interview staff, when I used to do that at our church for a season, I realized people would join the church staff, like we got some new members in the room today, people that would join the church staff, and I realized, wow, they think they're coming to work at Disney World. Right? Because they've just seen Sunday and the event and the conference and it's amazing and all these people are smiley and happy and wow, I'm going to go work at Disney World. And so in my interviews, I would say, hi, I know you think you're coming to work at Disney World and that is awesome. But let me just tell you something about working at Disney World versus visiting Disney World. You know those people in Lycra in 100 degree heat? In the parade that are sweating profusely but keep smiling as you take their photographs, I'm like, you're about to be that person. You're about to go behind the scenes and see Donald Duck with his head off having a cigarette at the back of the downstairs corridor. You're about to see where all the trash goes. You're about to see Cinderella not acting like a princess, not talking like a princess. Like, and if you're up for that and it won't ruin your experience of church, then come on the team. But this is what we deal with, right? This is the reality of staff. So today I'm just going to be really practical with you and give you a practical analogy to help you as a team and as a staff as you continue to grow. I think for us, we have to understand that leadership is where the rubber meets the road, okay? Leadership is where the rubber meets the road. And so I have in my possession here, you can see it, I have a tire. Now, when I go look for a vehicle or when me and my husband have to choose to change our car and go and consider what car we're about to buy, the last thing I'm thinking about is the tire. I mean, it's not sexy, it's not attractive, I'm not even paying attention to the tire. I'm looking at the vehicle's bodywork, I'm asking, is there a stereo? I'm looking at the electric gadgets, I'm asking, is it got nice interior? I'm asking, what's the paint color like? What's the interior leather like? I'm asking, does it have heated seats? Does it have a heated steering wheel? I'm interested in all of that stuff. But the truth is that if the vehicle does not have good tires, the shiny body and the great paint job and the great interior are a complete waste of my money because it can't go anywhere without the tires. You are the tires of Healing Place Church. It might not feel sexy at times, but that's okay. Your job is to be a tire, which is why there are a lot of leaders, ready for the dad joke, that are tired. Because you're a tire, right? You see? And so I want to help you understand your role as a tire, the expectations of you as a tire, and appreciate the role that you bring to the team. Because if we don't talk about the fact that you're a tire, you'll get disillusioned and disappointed. You'll feel this is not what I signed up for, or this is not what I thought I would be doing. You'll feel like somehow opportunity has passed you by because the job you're doing doesn't look like the job you would like to be doing. And if we don't realize that this primarily is why we are all in the room, then we're going to have a problem in seasons of our life and ministry, because when tires decide they don't want to be a tire anymore, the whole vehicle's in trouble. And in England, and I'm sure it's the same in America, when you take a driving test, okay, when you want to take a vehicle on the road, you have to do two parts of the test. You have to do your theory,
which is, you know, you sit behind a screen and you answer all the multiple choice questions. And then you have to do the practical where you actually take the vehicle out on the road. And I have realized on staff teams that I've taught over the last 20 plus years, I've realized in my own experience of working with leaders for a long time, I've realized there are a lot of people who are in leadership and they have only actually passed one part of the driving test. They have great theory. Like they're nailing the multiple choice. I mean, they've read Maxwell, they've read, you know, all the leadership books. I mean, they've listened to every leadership podcast. And so they can quote you leadership, they can talk leadership. But I'm like, okay, I'm glad you got the theory down, but please show me where your practical is. Show me where you take rubber out on the road, and you actually know how to drive this thing, not just talk about driving this thing. And we, as leaders, need to be those that are not just good in our head at leadership, but we're good in our everyday decisions, in our teams, and in our area of responsibility. We're able to take these tires onto the road. Why is that so important? Because you don't hurt anyone from behind the theory screen. And sometimes we're very keen to employ people or empower people because we want to be empowering and we want to give people a chance, but we need to be asking ourselves the question, is this person, have they got theory and practical or just theory? Because before I give them the keys to this vehicle, I want to see their road driving history, because I don't need no more carnage in my department because I've threw the car keys to someone who's only actually got theory leadership. Now, the bigger the vehicle in the practical, the bigger the vehicle in life, the more tires you need, right? So if you're just, you know, going around in your little Kia or whatever you're driving, four tires is enough to carry the weight of that load. But if you have an articulated lorry, a big heavy goods vehicle, then you know that four tires is insufficient to carry the load that is needed to be carried. And therefore, that means that every time a ministry grows, every time a department grows, you potentially are adding tires. But every time you add a tire to a vehicle, you have to do something. You have to have the tires calibrated so that all the tires are in alignment. If one of the tires that you add to your vehicle is not calibrated to the rest of the tires, the vehicle will not drive successfully. It will be veering off to the left or veering off to the right because the alignment is off. And every time you add people to the team at HPC, even in a volunteer role or in some kind of management role or in some kind of new role on maintenance or different departments, every tire needs a time to be calibrated, to understand at a deeper level what it takes to have an alignment with the vision of this house. Tires are crucial. Tires in the natural, when you think about what a tire provides to a vehicle, this is the list of things that a tire does, and then think about this in a leadership way. Tires, number one, carry weight. That's our job. If you're not carrying weight and you're in this room, I am questioning your alignment. It's not the job of four tires in this room to carry the weight of this house. It's not the job of your senior leaders to carry the weight of this house in prayer and fasting and coming before God. It's not the job of a few executive team members to carry the weight of this house. Once you became a tire, your job description is you have some weight to carry. Tires carry weight. Tires enable motion. If you will not allow the vision, as it were, to move through you and move with you, then you become a tire that needs replacing, because a tire has to always be willing to allow motion. So if you are the kind of staff member, and I'm sure there's no one in this room that would ever fit this description, they all live in England, but if you were the kind of tire that when the vehicle's moving, you're like, wait a minute, I don't know whether I feel about that. I'm not really sure whether this is what I feel I'm called to do. You can't do that when you're a tire, because all the other tires are trying to move and you're causing a problem because your tire is fixed. And so a tire has to be willing to enable the motion of the vehicle that it's carrying. A tire gives traction to the vision, and a tire, listen to this, a tire's job is to absorb the forces of the terrain to ensure that the passengers have a more comfortable ride. Well, why do I have to, absorb the force of that situation? Why do I have to kind of suck up, you know, the problem in that department? Because you're a tire. You're not anymore the passenger. You don't come on Sunday anymore and sit in the back seat and say, take me to where I want to go. You are here in the room, whether you have a job on Sunday morning or not. You have a job because you're a tire. And there's an alignment in our heart, whether we are on the stage or off the stage, whether we're recruiting in that morning or doing anything that morning, or we're just literally sitting in the service. Wherever you sit as a tire. And so you should be absorbing whatever it is that needs absorbing to ensure that we give people a better ride. And so tires have a vital job. And so every now and again, it's good for us to just go around the vehicle and kick the tires. Consider this a kicking tire session. Just like kick the tires, let's just make sure the tires are good. Let's make sure before we keep rolling into 2024, let's make sure all the tires are good. Let's just kick the tire of our own intentions and kick the tire of our own ambition and kick the tire of our own agenda. Let's just kick the tire a little bit so that we can make sure this year makes for a great ride, not just for the people that come here, but for you as a team together in this heart and soul. So I'm going to take this word. And I'm going to break it down and give you some things that you can kick the tires when you check. I'm going to use the word tire. I'm old school. I don't have any computers or laptops or presentations. You know, I'm a teaching pastor at Highlands Church, and I'm always intimidated because they always are dressed in their suits and they always just do tap screens. I remember one day PC saying, hey, can I look at your notes? I'm like, you don't want to look at my notes. I don't want to show you my notes. I'm embarrassed to show you my notes. And then I sent him some screenshots. He's like, yeah, now I see why. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It works for me. I'm not intimidated by you and your screens. So this is as screen as I will ever get, okay? I am old school people in every sense of the word. And side note, if you're a communicator, if in any area you're a communicator, side note, find what works for you. You know, yesterday I taught a room full of leaders, business leaders, and lots of them came up afterwards to ask questions. And one man that had begun in business leading, whatever he was doing, he's like, you know, you just had, like, it looked like paper. Like you had, like, paper, and I was trying to see, like, paper. And I was like, if you saw my, like, look how scratchy my notes are. Like, this is it, people. And he's like, I was like, yeah. I said, but paper works for me. I said, stop trying to do the newfangled thing. Whatever helps you be you, then do that. So if paper is your thing, be proud of your paper. I'm proud of my paper. All right. So tire. So the first thing I want you to think about is every tire, which is everyone in this room, you, not your pastor, not your department head, not somebody else in this room, you are responsible for your tread. What's tread? Well, on a tire, you can see these lines on the tire. This is the tread of the tire. The grooves in the rubber are the tread of the tire. And tread is vital for any tire to work, because tread is what allows a tire to get grip on the terrain that it is crossing. Tread is what gives it traction as the vehicle is moving. No tread, no traction. No tread, no able to be maneuvered and able to hold the terrain. And in your department, if your tread is poor, you are in trouble. And we have to understand our tread is our responsibility. What's tread? Tread is your walk with God. Tread is your prayer discipline. Tread is your time in the Word. Tread is you listening to God for the thing that God has entrusted to your hands. Tread is your understanding and your comprehension of the things that God wants to do in and through your department and the church. Tread is your grip on God, not God's grip on you. God's grip on you is not in question, but your grip on God is. And so often we have problems in teams and staff because we are so busy doing that we forget about being, and then we have no tread. And here's what I have seen time after time after time. The enemy, he's actually got a vested interest in this church going faster. He has no problem with you accelerating, with you taking more ground. He really doesn't, if he knows that in that place where you're taking ground and in that area where you're steaming ahead, if he knows there are just several tires attached to that vehicle who have completely bald tread. Because when you have no tread on your tire, the faster you go, the more dangerous it is. And all the enemy needs to do is at an opportune time, put something in the road, temptation, confrontation, even opportunity that is not God sent. All he needs to do is put something in the road, and because you have no tread and you're moving 100 miles an hour, you go to hit your brake and you can't stop. And collision is inevitable. It's not a mystery why we have people that fall in ministry. Speed, no personal tread. Can't stop when it comes. Look at David. You let your soul get weary. You let your heart get downcast. You let your mind get overwhelmed. You don't take care of your own tread. All you need is a Bathsheba walking on a rooftop and your eyes to make contact, and you can't hit the brakes fast enough to stop what is about to happen. And so it's not the pastor's responsibility to keep your tread strong. It is your responsibility to keep your tread strong. That's why David prays in Psalm 26. God, test me. Run your battery of tests on me. Check me from head to toe, God. What's he saying? Kick the tire. Make sure there's no offensive way in me. Make sure there's nothing unclean about me. Check me, Lord. I need a tread test. I need to know that whatever comes next, I have enough tread in my soul to handle it. A lot of people want a platform, but they don't want to kick the tire. And all the platform is elevation. Elevation will get you higher, but revelation will keep you higher. Revelation is from tread. What has God said to you? What has God affirmed in you? That is what will hold you when the church goes through hard terrain. It's your tread that holds you. When people leave, it's your tread that holds you. When people say things you don't want them to say, it's your tread that holds you. No tread, I guarantee there'll be a collision. So where do you need to work on your tread? Let me put it another way for you. It's not just our personal tread, as in our personal disciplines, but it's also the tread that we have with the vision of this house. Right? So there's the tread of your own spiritual discipline, but if you are a tire in this house, then you have to have tread with the vehicle that you're attached to. You can't just be a tire in this house and not really care about the vision, not really buy into the whole thing, because you are a danger to the alignment of the entire journey. So your tread has to not just be your own discipline, but it has to be your connection to the vision that you're all serving. If this year the word over the house is freedom, you should be in that. You should be studying that. You should be absorbed in that. You should be praying about that. You should be getting revelation about that. You should be looking for areas where freedom's not come yet. You should be looking for it in your team. It should be coming out of your mouth. It should be what you just talk about casually. Why? Because the tread of the vision is in your heart too. But this is what often happens. We come together as staff and your pastors, they say, hey, we want to share with you the vision for the house. We want to give it to you. We want to pour down for you what God's saying to us as tires in the house. You're the ones that are going to help us carry this. And so they come and they begin to speak to you about the vision, about what it is God's saying. And it's like strong. It's like neat. It's potent. You're like, okay, that's awesome. But then this is what happens. If you leave the room and you have another agenda in your own heart and mind, then as you leave the room to go back to your department, you already are beginning to dilute what you heard. So you're like, well, that was interesting and that was great, but you know, God hasn't really been speaking to me about that, but you know, okay, yeah, that's great. But you know, what I feel this year for me and my department is. And so now we've gone from the concentrate to your version of the concentrate. So now you have a department meeting. And you're like, oh, let me tell you what the vision is. But now it's not the actual flavor that you first tasted. Now it's the flavor that you have created. So now what happens is, you share it with your team, and they hear it, and they're like, okay, yeah, I hear that. And then they go, but what I feel about that is, you know, what I'm feeling in my circumstances is, and what I sense. So now we're like two steps down. Now they go to their volunteers, and then the volunteers, who are not tires, who have no responsibility for their alignment, they're just volunteering, they now add their own water, and that's why you walk around areas sometimes in church and you taste something, you're like, that does not taste like what I heard our pastors talk about. It kind of is, but it's got a whole different edge to it. It's somehow watery. It's somehow a little bit more, well, we might not. But what I heard is we are. But now it's like maybe. You know what I'm saying? So your tread personally, but also your tread with the vision, if you don't understand what the heartbeat is or what it is that God is putting in your pastor's heart for this church or team, go ask questions. So that you can get the tread right down in your spirit. So that when you stand up, there is no difference from the flavor that you heard to the flavor that the people under you hear, right? So where do you need to work on your tread? The road is busy and there's a lot of traffic ahead. And it's our tread as a team that will help us maneuver, turn, brake when we need to. Number two. Inflation. I am using the American spelling of tire, just so y'all know. In England, this would be a Y. Yes, that's the right way to spell it, but it's okay. Inflation. What's inflation? Well, inflation is pressure. You can't run a vehicle if the tires are deflated. You have to inflate a tire. It has to have pressure put inside of it. And you might not like this point, but I don't really care because I'll leave in a little while. But I'm just going to tell it to you anyway. You need pressure. Oh, don't pressure me. Don't pressure my department. Can't handle the pressure. Well, last time I checked, you were a tire. And tires don't work unless there's some pressure now. There is a wrong kind of pressure, and there is a right type of pressure. But there's definitely pressure. There's no tire that does not have pressure involved. And I have realized in my years of leadership that a lot of times tires begin to say, I just feel there's too much pressure. And I've realized when I read about Jesus and the disciples, man, it was pressure. It's like, boys, get out there and do your job. Get up. What is wrong with you? Can you not pray with me for a moment? I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me. Get back out there. Why couldn't you cast that demon out? Have you not learned anything by now? What, boys, how are we going to feed 5,000 people? Is that the best you can do? Those are your suggestions? That's pathetic. I'm going to shame you through a boy with a lunch and some fish. You know, Jesus is like, come on, boys, lift your game. Why? Because he knew I'm going and this job is going to be on you. So you better get used to a bit of pressure. What's happened in the church? Then we got COVID hangover. I don't know what happened, but something happened that was not of God. Oh, well, I just feel the church is too much. I just feel it's like it's a lot. Listen, we're here with a life or death mission. We're here trying to rescue people from hell and secure a place in eternity for their life. And if you don't understand that that requires some pressure, then I actually think you should stop trying to be a tire. Now, we don't want you overinflated. A lot of overinflated egos, overinflated sense of I deserve or I should have. We don't want you overinflated, but we don't want you underinflated either. We want the James 1 verse 2 kind of pressure, that when your faith is under pressure, it comes alive. And I just sense some of you this year, you need a little bit more pressure on. You're like, sister, don't say that in front of our pastor. I remember our worship team not so long ago when I was leading our church back in the UK. We really needed some new songs. And so, you know, they were saying to me, well, Pastor, we just don't feel. We're just not in that season. You know, we're not really feeling. You know, as a creative, you need to feel that, you know, the Holy Spirit to like feel those songs and all the rest of it. Like we're not really feeling it. I said, I'm sorry you're not feeling it. But you're going to go away for 2 days next week to the place that we use for retreats. And you're going to take the team and you're going to write 3 songs. And I'll see you next week with the 3 songs that you wrote not feeling it. They didn't come back with 3 songs. They came back with 8. And the worship pastor said to me, thank you. Somebody needed to put me under pressure. I just made an excuse. I was just like, I'm not feeling it. But when I realized, no, I need to produce this, something inside me began to rise up. And I realized there was a demand on the anointing that is in me. And that began to rise something up from within me. Listen, if you don't like pressure, do not be a tire. I don't know what you think this kind of, you know, people see people like me that, you know, come in town and oh, it must be great. I'm like, you have no clue. No clue. There is nothing about what I am doing that is comfortable, that is easy, that is, you know, oh, this is a great ride. No, I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my children. I'm on an airplane. I'm off an airplane. I'm sleeping in a hotel 2 nights ago in Dallas that was sleeping with bed bugs that are all over my skin. I'm having to go get steroids between meetings yesterday to help me. I'm trying to teach leaders yesterday and ignore the itch that is desperate on the inside of me and stay focused. I'm getting up early to take the antihistamines. And now we go today to another place. Like talk about pressure. Oh, I want to be in ministry. I want to be used by the Lord. Okay. Hope you're ready to sleep with some things that bite you. Can we just be real? Sometimes the reason why you don't have the right pressure is because you have a puncture. Punctures in tires can be invisible to the naked eye. But as a tire, you are highly susceptible to be punctured because you're hitting the terrain harder than the people in the vehicle. You're taking the bump and you're taking the hard road and you're going over some gravel and you're dealing with some stuff and there's a few nails that have been dropped carelessly in the path. And at any given time, one of those can end up inside your tire. And if you don't realize it, you start to leak. Just takes an offense to puncture your tire. Just takes a disappointment or a betrayal. And though you keep on rolling, as it were, you're not rolling in the same way as you were before because there's something leaking out of you. Your joy is leaking out of you. Your peace is leaking out. Your sound mind is leaking out of you because there's a puncture. And so you have to realize if I'm punctured, I have to get myself fixed because I'm a tire and I can't carry weight with a puncture that keeps losing pressure. So where, as a tire, do you need to check your pressure? Do you need more pressure on? And honestly, I think some of you, that could be the best decision you make this year. God, I don't want it easy. I want some pressure on. Like I find when people put a demand on me, I go to a whole nother level. And there's another level in some of you this year, but it's going to require more pressure. All right, thirdly, this is huge. This one's huge, and this is one that we mess up all the time, I think, especially in church. Rotation. I had no clue that you're supposed to rotate your tires. Like, newsflash, when did that rule get invented? My husband's like, babe, like, after so many miles, you have to, like, you know, deal with the tire, rotate the tire. And I was like, I never knew that that was a thing, but clearly it is a thing. Why? Because when you rotate tires, you increase their longevity. And I have seen in ministry over and over and over again, tires that refused to be rotated and so therefore had to be replaced. Your willingness for rotation ensures your longevity for the kingdom. I have done every job, as I said at the beginning, every job. There's not an area that I wasn't involved in. Did I like them all? Absolutely not. I endured several of them, especially the youth ministry phase. I couldn't stand it. Love young people, but I am not your mother. And so, you know, like, but I endured it. I remember, though, one time when I eventually got given a microphone and put on the worship team. I was like, finally, someone has recognized the gift of God on my life. They gave me a microphone, put me up there with the singers in leading worship in the church, and I was giving it all of it, and I was worshiping, because I'm a great worshiper. I was worshiping heart and soul, and about a year or so later, somebody from the team came and said, hey, we just think it might be time for you to move to another department. I was like, what do you mean, move me to another department? You need me. Like, this is my thing. This is my microphone. What do you mean, move me? And in that moment, I was so wrestling. My pride was dented. My ego was punctured. I didn't like what was being said. I didn't want to be rotated. And I realized in that moment, I either am going to be rotated or I'm going to be replaced. And so with a bad attitude, I'm just being honest, I didn't do it with a good attitude, I flung the microphone back in the face of the worship team. And I went into a season where really I felt like I was very unclear about what came next. God needed to take me out of a place that I'd become way too attached to because he had another place that he had already predestined for me. And it was in my letting go of something that I felt I could not let go because it was my identity that actually became the birthing place for the first book I ever wrote, for a women's conference I launched, for my first preaching that I ever did. And I realize now, if I'd have held on to what I thought was the best, I would have never stepped into the area that God had already said was better for my life. And you need to realize rotation is not something that you should shy away from. It's something you should encourage, you should welcome, because God knows better what's in you than you do. To add insult to injury, after I'd left the worship team, it was about 3 months later, and someone from the sound team came up to me and said, "You want to know something funny?" I said, "I don't know. Do I want to know something funny?" He said, "You know when you're on the worship team?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "The whole year." He goes, "You were awesome at leading worship, but we never once put sound in your microphone. You sounded awful. We just would mute you." I'm like, I have been miming for Jesus for 12 months. 12 months. I mean, as if I wasn't already down, now I was down and out. I was like, "Really? You think that's funny? Thanks for sharing." You know? But God needed to teach me a lesson. What you think is your best place, you need to allow me to replace, because there's a rotation I have for your future. And I'm just trying to let you know, if you want longevity in ministry, you've got to be willing to be rotated. If you won't rotate, you'll be replaced. Now, I understand this principle. I'm just like, bring it. Like literally, I've made massive decisions in the last 2 years that would make you stay awake all night. I handed my notice into the job that I've always had at the church that I've always been. And I was one of the senior leaders. And I'm like, I need to hand my resignation in. My husband's like, "What do you mean? We're senior pastors." I was like, "I know, have fun. I'm like, out of here." I was like, "I know God's telling me to rotate. But what will people think? What will people say?" I said, "I don't care what people will think, what people say. I know the Spirit of God is asking me to help the church globally. And if I don't get up and do this, I can't do the thing that God's asking me to do. I can't be here today. I can't help the people yesterday. I can't help the people tomorrow. I've got to be willing for the rotation." And in that season, though it felt disorientated for a moment, I realized something in me was quickening, and God was trying to get the tire to the different place on the same vehicle of his kingdom and his church, and my willingness to rotate speeded up not just my destiny, but all the other people's destinies that I'm called to help and reach. Rotation is something you should embrace, not something you should fear. If you don't rotate, you will become exhausted. Remember Moses? There's a beautiful little story in Exodus. Moses, you can tell his wife has been having a little chat with her dad. "Dad, you need to speak to my husband. He is out of control." So Jethro, the father-in-law, rocks up, comes to stay for the weekend. In Exodus, it says he just watches Moses as he stands every single day and listens to everybody's complaints, everybody's problems. And after the end of a long day, the father-in-law says to Jethro, "What are you doing? This is not good. This is not how you should be spending your time. You need Moses to rotate. You need to put someone else in this place so that you can move to the right place. And sometimes you need a Jethro in your life to stop fighting what God is trying to realign for your future." This year, if your pastor says, "Hey, we would love to move you from where you are over to here because we see in you a strength that's going to give support to this side of the vehicle," before you have a fit and a meltdown and begin to tell them all the ways that this is not the Lord, ask yourself, is it time for a rotation? You may find that the rotation is the very blessing that you are looking for your own freedom. Rotation diffuses frustration in a team, and rotation gives you empathy for other people that are tires alongside you in ministry. Finally, expectation. Every tire in the natural has to meet a set of expectations. If a police officer pulled you over to do a vehicle check, they would have a code for how much your tire should be inflated, for how much your tread should be strong enough and not bald enough for the road that it's on. They would have a list of expectations that your tire must meet in order for it to be deemed roadworthy. If you are a tire, then you have expectations. Show up on time. Oh, well, you know, I just got lost in the Lord. Get lost in the Lord in your own time. But here, we start work at 9 a.m. Not 9:15, not 9:45, not whenever you remember that your alarm clock wasn't set. We have an expectation. We have an expectation of how you handle resources. We have an expectation of how you steward your office. We have an expectation of how you act and conduct yourself in this building and outside of this building. There is an expectation because you're a tire. I don't have that expectation of someone that is not on the team, but I have that expectation of someone that is on the team. What is wrong with us? Why do we become weird when we start working for church? If you work for Google or Starbucks and just waltzed in when you felt like it, hey, boss, hey, where have you been? It's none of your business. Why didn't you take care of the thing I asked you to take care of? Oh, I'll get around to it. You would be fired. Because there's an expectation, because they have a corporation to run and they can't deal with everyone just doing it however they feel like doing it. And when we come into the kingdom of God, we should have even a higher expectation of what we behave like and act like. So when the accounts department asks you to hand your receipts in, it's not a suggestion. It's an expectation. And when you don't hand your receipts in, you make their life three times harder than it needs to be. And what you're saying to the accounts department is, I'm more important than you. Deal with me how I want to be dealt with. No, you're a tire. You're supposed to hand your receipt in. Now hand it in on time and stop being a diva. Some of you are like, thank the Lord, this is not our pastor. I know. I was a terrible pastor. I don't mind admitting it. People would be sick. I'm like, get over it. You're fine. Like, literally, when my kids are ill, they're like, I don't want mom anywhere near me. My kids can be dying with some kind of illness and like, don't send mom. Don't send mom. Because I have terror. I said to Sandy, you just need to know, if you're ever in hospital and I come visit you, it's because they're not telling you something. You're out of here. I'll send you flowers. But if you see me visiting, you should be really worried. Why is Charlotte at the hospital? Okay, so I'm just, you know, I love y'all, but I love you in a way that I want to grow you. And I love you in a way I want to see you flourish. And I love you in a way where I want to have the right talk with you so that you can step into the destiny God has for you. And sometimes we've got so used to stroking each other's flesh and they're bearing each other. And oh, lovely Jesus, meek and mild. Well, Jesus also turned tables. And Jesus also set it straight. And Jesus had some expectations of what happened around him and in his ministry. And sometimes we need a little bit of that in our life to balance out the other stuff in our life. And so today, this might not be the easiest pill to swallow. This might not be the easiest message to digest, but you are a tire. And if you're a tire, then you are responsible for your tread. Does your department have tread? Does it sound like? Does it look like? Does it feel like what the DNA of this house should be? If you are a worship leader, then your tread should look like you are so in the secret place and you are so worshiped up and you are so ready. It should not look like rocking up 15 minutes before the service starts with a little swagger and pick up a microphone as if we're on Stars in Their Eyes. No, you should have a tread of revelation in worship so that if the Holy Spirit wants to direct us left, you're ready to go. Direct us right, you're ready to go. Hold us in a moment, you're ready to hold. If you don't have tread, you never get to that supernatural moment in worship because the tread is what takes you there. you're a communicator, then you should have tread in the word, not just when you are preaching on a rota. That's why Paul said to Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. Get your tread straight, Timothy, so that when it's time, you're ready, whatever time of day it is. So check your tread. Maybe some of you need a little bit more pressure. Maybe some of you need to say, you know what? I can do more. I'm just going to let you know, honestly, I'm busy, but I can do more. Throw something else on my table. Give me something else to put my hands to. I don't think we need to hire more staff. Sometimes I think we need the more in the staff to come to the top. And so sometimes you got to put yourself under a little bit of pressure. Rotation. Maybe this year you need to prepare your heart because there's a rotation in your future. And maybe some of you have been resistant to rotation and you need to surrender. Because here's the thing, if you don't help align the vehicle, if you're not willing to be calibrated with the vision of the house, you will eventually become a spare tire. Spare tires are no good for going the distance. And finally, there's expectation. Where is it that it's time for us to stop excusing and start just lifting our game so that this year is a year where the expectation is not something we resent, but is something we welcome. So God, I thank you for this house and I thank you for this team. God, I thank you that we are entrusted with the amazing, beautiful responsibility of being those that are in your house, leading your people, outworking the vision. God, we signed up for this. We said, here I am, Lord, use me. We sang it this morning. I'm a vessel, God, use me. But so often, God, we have an idea in our mind of the shape of the vessel and the color of the vessel and where the vessel is placed. And God, I pray today we would repent from telling you the type of vessel, the way of the vessel, the look of the vessel. And God, we'd say, I'm just clay. I'm just clay and you're the potter. And this year I pray for a reshaping, a rotating. I pray for a pressure that is God sent and heaven used. And I pray for us to lift our levels so that the expectation finds us willing and ready in the day of your power, God. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the vision. And I pray in 2024, such great alignment and new territory will be taken because of the calibration of the tires that are in this house. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.